Do you go out for snacks after work or what?
Yeah. Yeah. I got done with work at noon. So
there you go.
Shook some dice with the old timers and yeah, definitely put a few back. So
you're done with work at noon. What time do you start?
Four.
Four? I remember those days.
Yeah. Them are good hours.
Actually, it is. Some people think you're kind of crazy, but I enjoyed them. I did that for quite a while.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, you can basically, during the rut and all that stuff, or gun season, even ice season, you can get out and still do all that stuff, you know, because you got, you know, 3-4 hours of, you know, play time yet.
All right, I'll get it started officially. Welcome to Border Outdoors Podcast. I am Tim, and today I'm talking with a special guest. I have Anton from Grim Outdoors tonight, and we're going to talk a little outdoor activities and what he likes to do. So welcome, Anton.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good, going really good. So, good. Anton from Grim Outdoors. My main question for you right now is what is, just to get this started, what is Grim Outdoors?
It's a just a outdoor page. Basically, we kind of dabble in all kinds of outdoor activities, ice fishing, bow hunting, gun hunting, summer fishing, camping, grilling out, all kinds of stuff like that. But we don't really keep it too serious. No, we have fun and we're not professional by no means, but it's a fun page, you know?
Yeah. This all sounds very familiar. So it sounds a lot of, border outdoorish a little bit. So
yeah,
I think this might be kind of a fun one to talk about because there's a lot of similarities here in what we do too. And biggest thing is not taking all the stuff serious, just go out and having fun with it, right?
Well, you got to keep it real. I mean, you know, you listen to a lot of these podcasts and stuff and yeah, they're interesting and whatnot, but it's, you know how it is when you're with your buddies and stuff like that in a shack and all that stuff you talk about, it's nothing like the podcasts that are usually out there that are, you know, they try to keep it too professional and stuff like that. And it's nice to have more of a normalcy to it, you know?
Yeah. It's something that everybody can relate to and just kind of feel like you're maybe part of just a bullshit and conversation for the most part. Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That's what I like about it too. I don't take life too seriously. So when that happens, it's, seems like you're just in a little bit too deep and time to back away a little bit and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
So where are you? Is Grim Outdoors, is that like Wisconsin based or are you guys all over the place?
Yeah, we're like around the Fond du Lac area. I mean, we got I'd say most of us are on the Fond du Lac area and then Montello and basically just around there, southeast Wisconsin, I guess.
Okay. So yeah, we're obviously border outdoors, so we're between Wisconsin and Minnesota a little bit. So yeah, we got one of our members, Scott. He's out of Appleton, so he's not too far from you guys, actually. Probably ran into him on the lake somewhere. Who knows?
40 minutes, yeah, I'm sure. Sooner or later, I would have seen him.
Right. No, that's cool. So then, how many members do you guys have? I don't know if you guys call them members or staff members or what do you guys call each other?
Well, I mean, we don't really do the, pro staff, name or whatever, just kind of just the team. And, there's, six of us, I think, or eight. I'm not even sure. 8. There's 8.
Okay.
So, you know,
so you guys usually,
We went from like, I think 10 at one time to like 8 at another time and then 6. And then, you know, you just kind of weed through people, and you know, some people work out, some don't, you know.
Yep. Oh yeah, absolutely. So when you guys started all this, how long have you guys been doing, you know, how long has Grim Outdoors been in existence?
2013, I believe.
Okay. So we've been going at it for quite a while then.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just, basically just, me and a buddy that I played softball with were like, you know, a couple of our other buddies had a page, and we're like, oh, we should just start a page. And so we, you know, thought of a name and, started it, and all of a sudden we're like, oh, you know, this is going pretty good and stuff like that. And, yeah, here we are, I guess, now. So, yeah.
That sounds like you guys keep it fun, at least, with all the stuff you guys do.
Yeah, just wing it. That's basically what we do.
Yep, nothing professional. I like that. When you guys go out and do like a lot of your fishing events and hunting, is it you guys all try to do this all together, or you split up and just kind of do your own thing, or and just kind of report back to your page on what's going on?
Oh yeah, we basically we have a group messenger, you know, Facebook Messenger, and you know, all through the seasons and stuff like that, we just all kind of keep in contact with each other and stuff like that. And occasionally we'll plan something, you know, like a little, say, fishing excursion or or a trip out to check out Ice Shanty and then have some beers, you know. I mean, just an excuse to get away from the house. But, yeah, we all keep in contact like that. But, yeah, we just kind of basically do our own thing, I guess.
Okay. You guys got certain guys in the group that like to do more hunting and more like, say, bird hunting versus deer hunting and ice fishing versus summer fishing then?
Well, yeah. Like for, you know, ice fishing, we got definitely a few guys that are more of a standout ice fisherman, I guess, as far as putting time in, and then actually, you know, posting stuff, that's the thing. You know, if somebody fishes a lot, it's cool, but they gotta, you know, even if you don't catch shit, I mean, just give a little, a spiel about how your day went and, you know, a sunset picture or something like that. You know, I mean, at least you're posting something and that's, you know, contributing to the page. But, yeah, some people are, you know, some of the teammates are more bull hunting, so they'll post more bull hunting stuff, and you know, we got a good mixture, so it kind of keeps all the seasons going, you know, with activity.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to keep it going all year round with just a couple of guys with just the same interest, so you kind of have a little diversity in there and kind of keep it going.
Yeah,
it gets kind of tough in the off seasons. Like for me, I like the ice fishing, and I haven't been on open water now how many years now, so I just mm-hmm. I kind of keep the ice fishing part going. It's that part's always my favorite anyway. But so how about for like you, Anton, yourself, what kind of game do you normally like to target, you know, between whether it's on land or on the water?
For me, it's I basically just fish for big pike, that's it. Mainly ice fishing, and in summer I'll dabble with some catfish. You know, I like to fish for a fish that, you know, put up a good fight and stuff like that. And then I also bow hunt, you know, for whitetails and stuff like that. I shot a bear 2 years ago
with a bow
up in a shotgun.
Okay.
Up in northern Minnesota there.
Okay.
But yeah, I like to shot a razorback down in Arkansas.
Really?
I don't know, that was like 10 years ago. Yeah. Yeah, it's but
that's gotta be a fun hunt.
Yeah. Oh, it was cool. I mean, it was what do you want to call it? A canned hunt, I guess. It was a fenced in hunt, and I'm like, shit, I had a 30-30 lever action. I'm like, I'll be out of here in fucking 5 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we're like 3 hours into the hunt. I'm like, I'm going to fucking go home empty-handed, right?
in a fenced in area.
Yeah, because I had like an hour left, and I'm like, shit. And finally, a group came through, and then I waited and waited, and then I seen that with the big one in the back there, and it stopped, and and the head was like right in the crotch of a tree, and I aimed right in the crotch here, and I drilled it right in the right beyond the eye.
Oh, nice!
And dropped it, and the guide comes up, he's like, hey, would you get one? Because my my brother-in-law was with me, and he missed like, I don't know, 8 or 9 times or something like that. So he thought we couldn't shoot, you know, some Wisconsin guys or whatever couldn't shoot. But,
yeah,
I'm like, yeah, I said, he's down over there or whatever. And he's like, oh shit. He's like, what's waiting? And then he comes up, he's like, what's going on with that other guy? I'm like, I just said, I think he gets nervous, you know, I don't know. But, yeah, it was definitely a fun hunt. We, it was weird because we're driving through the hills there and stuff, and he's like, "Oh, right over here's the KKK headquarters," and I'm like, "Jesus Christ, no shit!" I'm like, "Here's banjos in the background or something," you know?
Yep.
And this guy was like a big dude. He was like 6'5", and like, you know, probably 300 pounds. I'm like, "Shit," you know? But yeah, nothing happened.
That get a little scary. So keep that gun close, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Might need it for protection. So the Razorback hunt, you guys are just on the ground and everything too, right? So these things are just kind of could possibly just walk right up to you or no?
No, so we like posted, and then he walked around, and then they would run all over the fucking place, and it's weird because, you know, like I've only hunted like whitetails basically, you know, my whole life, and seeing a pig run through the woods for the first time is really fucked up. It looks like a bowling ball with legs.
I can just imagine what that's like, though. Yeah, they're so low to the ground, it's like almost like a freaking bunch of bulldogs running around out in the field or out in the woods.
Yeah, and then like the first time the first bunch comes through, there's like 30 pigs come through. I'm like, you know, I got a lever action here. I'm like, fuck it, I'm gonna dump one here.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, the big ones, and all of a sudden there'd be a little fucker right in front of the vitals. Of every single big pig, there'd always be a small one in front of the vitals. I'm like, I'm not going to shoot, you know?
The little shits are out there just protecting them, the big ones.
Oh, yeah. That's, yeah. That shit planned out. But I told the guide, I'm like, yeah, I said I get a shot fucking all, you know, all of several big ones. And he's like, oh, you know, thanks for not shooting any of those little ones. I'm like, I'm like, I don't want to shoot a fucking 10-pound pig, you know?
No.
I'm not from Illinois. But but it was definitely a neat and them fuckers stink, man. Like
I was gonna ask you that too. They gotta be just nasty.
Pungent. And then the meat was really good. My wife was like, she's like, oh, this is the best pork I ever had. And I'm like, okay, but it fucking smelled like boar piss.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and like, it's like it stunk the whole house up, but like the pork steaks were like not pink, like, you know, regular.
Like your regular farm hog or whatever.
Yeah, the shit was like red, like almost like beef.
Really?
Yeah, and the bacon was like real nice, real dark, reddish meat. Yeah, it was really good stuff.
It's not really that gamey, but, then?
Oh no, it's fucking good.
Huh. You know?
Then I had the hams. Had them smoked. Them were good. I was like, yeah, reddish red meat too.
Oh, that sounds really good. Yeah, it's one of the things I've always wanted to do is go down to Texas and hunt hogs. And I keep saying I want to do it out of a helicopter, but I'm afraid of heights, so I don't know how it's going to work out. But probably have to figure out a way.
Helicopter would be awesome.
I think it'd be a lot of fun. I watch enough videos of that. It's like, God, it's just, you know, shooting fish in a barrel for the most part, but looks like a lot of fun.
I like to do it with the grenades. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, that would be fun. You don't have to.
You got to figure out how to lead them out and shit.
You think, oh, you get them just wrong. You don't have to worry about tenderizing them then.
Oh, whatever. I mean, they're, you know, I don't know. That's I think a lot of that stuff is diseased, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what, you know, if they have like the chronic wasting disease, kind of like a deer, if they have any of that kind of shit going on, or if they're just dirty old hogs or what, but still be fun to shoot. Yeah. Though.
Oh yeah. Shooting them that's fun. Definitely. I think, a bow would probably be the best, you know, I mean, like, or like a crossbow, even like a real big expandable, you know, just to see what it does to it.
Yeah. Yeah, that part would be a lot of fun. So are you guys, you said you guys post, you guys like sitting in actual tree stands then?
No, we were just standing like behind a tree and shit.
Okay.
Just kind of winging it, kind of like a deer drive in Wisconsin, you know?
Sure. Huh. Yeah, that does sound like a lot of fun.
Going, yeah, the guy's like, oh, I'm going to go around. I'm going to sweep around the hill down here. And, you know, I'm going to go shoot, swing up right by you. And I'm like, all right, I said, I kind of get it, you know. I fucking do this all the time, you know, every November in Wisconsin. So
yeah,
it's a lot different when a deer is running, jumping and shit past. And these things, like I said, are just like a fucking bowling ball with legs, you know.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, it's got to be a little more challenging to peg them, especially when they're on the move.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely fun. It's honestly, like up in the UP of Michigan, you can go on a hog hunt for like $600, you know.
Seriously, I didn't have no idea that they had something like that up there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a canned hunt, but I mean, whatever. It's no different than going down in Texas on a fucking ranch or whatever. That's not, say it's not even fenced in, but there's just hogs everywhere, and you bait them. I mean, what the hell's the difference? You know, you shoot pigs either way.
Yeah, I'm assuming all the fenced-in areas, they got to have a lot of acreage in there, don't they? So it's kind of like they're out wild, but yet enclosed?
Yeah, yeah. It's real thick, like cedar swamps and stuff like that. But it's called like Dave's Wild Boar or something like that, or Dave's Hog Wild, it's called.
Huh. That'd be so much fun.
Actually, I'm going to probably take my son on the hunt there probably in like April after I get back from Lake of the Woods.
Okay.
So
nice. So something like that. I'm not going to go off on the hog hunting too much longer, but like you mentioned, you use rifles for all that kind of stuff. Or they bring in shotguns, or they just don't care what you bring in?
You could bring a Braveheart sword if you want. I mean,
nice.
You know, I'm not sure in the Michigan area, but I think in like down in Texas where they use the hounds and stuff more, where they pin them down and stuff like that. And then if people go up like, you know, Conan the Barbarian and just start hashing away and stuff like that, I think that's more down south.
Wow. Yeah, they do a little different down south, don't they?
Yeah, they do some weird shit down there.
So you mentioned Lake of the Woods. You going to go up there and target some pike then?
Yeah, yeah, we go up there every year for the last, I think, six years now.
Okay, and you said that was March-ish, or?
Yeah, we go, early to mid-March, we just basically go through Arneson's out there, and we stay for, some of us stay for 4 days, some stay for 6 days, and then 6 days and six nights out in the ice castle or whatever you want to call it out there.
Yeah, yeah, they got their sleeper houses. You guys stay on the lake then?
Yeah, we do. And last year was really nice, actually. They got the porta potties on the outside of the shack, because the way their four-man shacks are set up, the shitter was on the inside, and
yeah, right between the set of bunks, basically. So you put your head right next to the shithole's door.
Yeah, and then you got that little window, and the wind never fucking blows away from it. You know, it always blows in, so it blows right through everything. And then, I mean, you're eating, you know, ramen noodles out there, frozen pizza, hot sticks. And, I mean, it's just, some raunchy-ass stuff going on there. But, they got the porta potty outside, and I'm like, oh, it's nice. But last year, it's 40 below. Like 40 mile an hour winds, and like you get out there, the porta potty, see what's frosted and shit. I'm like, fuck.
You gotta have an ice scraper out there in the shitter just to get the frost off the toilet seat before you go take a shit.
Yeah, and I'm a, you know, when I take a shit, it's an event, you know, it's 45 minutes, you know, usually I get off, my legs going down, you know, but when I was out there, I'm like, I gotta fucking get, I'm out of here, you know, I think it was like 3 minutes, I took my, probably my fastest shits of my life out there.
Yeah, that'll do it to you, though. It seems like you get that, you think you just lock up and pucker, but it kind of has that reverse effect on you when you freeze up like that.
And the thing, you know, on a trip like that, you're holding it, you know, you don't want to be shitting constantly. So you just kind of like, if you feel like you got to shit, you kind of hold back and you're like, you know, it's not real aggressive right now. Just kind of hold it back. And when it gets to the point where it's like, okay, it's a go time, then it comes out.
Yeah. You got to build it up the steam here just to, so you don't waste a good shit on something small out there. Cause yeah, you got to make it count.
Oh man, hey, one time I had ate a whole bag of pistachios.
Oh no.
In one day.
You didn't eat the shells, did you?
You know, no, but, you know, pistachios are addicting and I'm just eating them nonstop. We're just shooting the shit all day long. And, also I'm like, I think it was like 2 days later. I'm like, fuck, I didn't shit, you know? And also I'm like, oh man, I can feel like a fucking, it felt like, you know, I'm not a woman, but I'm like, I might be giving birth here.
Got some cramping going on.
Oh man, I could feel like, yeah. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm like, okay, it's go time. So I'm in the toilet and I'm like, shit, I'm sitting there and, you know, nothing's happening. You know, nothing's coming on. I'm like, oh man, I'm like, I might have to call the guide or something. Come on here and get me, take me to the hospital. Because the fucking pistachios made me so constipated, you know?
Oh no.
Yeah, and all of a sudden I pushed through it, and I'm like, oh, it was like, I walked out, and I'm like, oh, man, it was like, probably, you know, it was the most relief feeling I ever had in my life.
Right, dropped a couple pant sizes out there.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you got to bring stool softeners or something like that out there, because, I mean, you're eating a lot of fucked up shit, you know?
Oh, yeah, so I guess.
And you're dehydrated because, you know, you're drinking from, you know, some days we start at 6-7 in the morning and you finish at 11 at night, you know?
Yep.
So you're dehydrated and, you know, it's, yeah, it gets rough on the old colon.
I know you talk about dehydration. My son and I were leaving Winnie a couple weeks ago and we were one of the last ones to leave that section. And you could see where all the ice castles and shit were parked on the lake. And I'm looking over every spot just covered in piss on the sides of where the houses were. And, I was thinking it, and then also my kid, he comes out and says right away, he's like, holy shit, that guy's got to drink some more water. And I'm like, yeah, it looks like he went out there and he pissed out a bunch of orange juice. I'm like, holy smokes. So yeah, that'll dehydrate you and tear you up a little bit. But
And it smells like Golden Grams or something.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, it's like, what the fuck was that? I didn't need Golden Grams. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we got to get off this subject, but I do have to ask one question. Have you ever locked up walking?
Locked up?
Yeah, like when you got to go take a shit, you're on your way to the can, and all of a sudden your legs lock up, and your body wants to go, but your legs just say, hell no?
Fuck no. I've never heard that before.
We've talked about it a couple of times on the podcast, and there's a few of us that have actually locked up, and it's not cool. It's one of the worst feelings you ever feel in your life. You just don't know what to do, and you just can't wait. It passes after time, but then all of a sudden, you know, it's like 15 to 20, maybe 30 seconds. Then all of a sudden you can move again. So I hope you never lock up.
Wait, hold on. So you have to shit and you're walking to the shitter and then you lock up?
Yeah, your legs lock up. It's like you're frozen. Your legs won't move. So
that ain't real, is it?
Yeah, because I was over at my neighbor's house one day and we just walked over there and we're having some beers and also my stomach just did a flip. I'm like, uh-oh, I gotta go. I go back to the house, says I'll be back in a little bit. I'm walking across my front yard and I'm just out in the middle of the yard. There's nothing anywhere near me and I just stop. My legs locked up and my neighbor's like, what's wrong? I'm like I locked up. And he's like, what? I'm like, yeah, my legs are locked up. I can't move. I'm frozen. He's like, well, just get in the house and go take care of business. I'm like, I can't. I'm locked. And it was just a couple minutes, you know, a few seconds later, and all of a sudden my stomach just kind of rolled again, and okay, on my merry way I went. So, yeah, you don't ever want to lock up. It's not a good feeling.
Yeah, I don't plan on it, man.
I never planned on it either.
You know, I never fucking heard of it, but now that you brought it to my attention, I'm sure now I'll fucking probably lock up now.
Yeah, you're gonna lock up probably in the next 48 hours. That's I'm gonna call that one.
Yeah, probably.
So you're big on fishing for pike. So what's your go-to setup? Like, let's say Lake of the Woods, do you do something different up there than you would back home in Wisconsin, or you kind of stick with the same stuff? Just kind of walk us through kind of like what your normal setup is for pike.
For Lake of the Woods, like when I first started going up there, I'd use, you know, fluorocarbon and stuff like that. Cause you know, I was into more of the stealthy approach, if you want to call it. And, caught some nice fish and stuff like that. But, some of the people in our group are using these, them big Northwind tackle, V rigs, you know, the stinger hooks. And I'm like, holy shit. What's like, man, all huge hooks, you know, like number twos with big, you know, big, blades and whatnot. And,
is that kind of like the two treble hooks kind of deal with the little flashers, I call them. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that's a big, not a very, discreet setup, you know? And so I'm like, well, if they're catching pike, you know, bigger than the ones I'm catching, I mean, I'm just going to switch my shit into steel. So I went to steel in and, I still use somewhat of a small hook, but, yeah, so up there I use steel because the water up at Lake of the Woods is not super clear and stuff like that. And like the steel I use is that surf strand stuff. So it's kind of like that bronze color, which is kind of like the color of Lake of the Woods anyway, where we are. Yeah,
that's got to mix in pretty good then.
Yeah, I think it does. And the only thing is it kinks and shit like that. You know, so if you catch one, you know, maybe get all kinked up and stuff like that. But, you know, we always got some pre-tie and stuff like that. And so,
okay.
Yeah.
So like Lake of the Woods, you know, you go up there, do you do throw tip ups and then fish in a house, or how you guys work that?
Yeah. So when we get up there, we get two guys in a shack, you know, usually, cause you know, we're up there for, like I said, 4 to 6 days or whatever. And if we do four guys in a shack, it'd be, pandemonium as far as dropping ass and stuff like that. Rotten ass feet. So we get up there, we just put our tip ups, obviously, within the 200 feet, distance. You know, we run the Vulture systems, of course, but, which is nice because, we set our tip ups up and then we just basically sit in our shack and just wait for the beep on our handheld and run out there and rip some shit up.
So that Vulture, I have actually never seen that in person. First time I actually seen it is on your guys' page. Explain to the listeners kind of what that is and what the setup's like.
So basically it's... it can be used for, multiple applications such as like, trapping, home security if you want. I mean, ice fishing, obviously, bank fishing. But basically it's a radio, a two-way radio. So there's a magnet that sits on the main sensor. And then basically you just got to set it up so that magnet gets pulled off and then it'll go to a handheld that's on your neck saying, hey, number one is tripped. So, you know, it's got a 1 mile range. They float, like I said, they're two ways. So like if I'm sitting in my ice castle and, you know, I'm laying in bed, you know, I'm watching Wheel of Fortune reruns or whatever and eating some cheese puffs. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if my tip up's up. I can just push number one and be like, it'll send a signal out, come back and it'll flash number one. And if it doesn't beep, you know, just there's no tip up. So, I mean, it's pretty, it's a pretty slick system. I think we've been using them now for, man, it's got to be, it's 6 years, 7 years.
So is this something you have to, you clip or kind of mounts on your tip up, right? And then do you clip your line through it, or what's the trigger like to set it off?
So it's, you can mount it to your tip up. I just always put them off to the side, like off in the snow or whatever. But, basically you just gotta, it comes with, a 10 pound magnet and, a 3 pound magnet. And for like tip ups, you obviously want to use 3 pound magnet because you don't want a lot of, resistance for the leg to pull it off.
Yep.
So then, the magnets that come with them have holes through them where you just tie a line, tie a knot, and then you tie like an 8-inch, you can use any kind of fishing line or a braid or whatever usually works better because you get a little more life out of it. But then you tie that on like on the tip of your tip up or, you know, through your flag or whatever. And then when your flag goes off, it pulls the magnet off and then sends you the signal.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool system. I got the website pulled up right now too. So yeah, the Vulture systems, it's kind of neat. It's something I've never seen, like I said, in person. So it's pretty cool. But yeah, you can go, what is it, like up to 6 or 8 tip ups on one sensor? Or not sensor, no, but like the little handheld.
Yeah, the handheld. So there's been people that put like 20 sensors on one handheld. So you can have yeah, you can have like 3 number 1s, 3 number 2s, 3 number 4s, you know, but, you know, you just got to make sure you remember where they are, you know, if you got like deep snow and stuff like that.
Huh. So you can kind of create your own zone for the most part. And
yeah.
And you said they have like a mile radius for the, communication.
Yeah. Up to a 1 mile range. Yeah. So like, most, places, you know, that's way past the legal limit for, as far as distance to your tip up, but they have that extra power to go through like your sleeper shack walls and say I want to sit in my cabin up north and I want to have a couple tip ups out by the pier, it'll still go through your house walls and stuff like that. That's why it has that extra power.
Right.
So
that's cool. I like that idea.
Yeah, and it's you can also shut the red light off. You don't want the red light flashing out by your tip up saying, hey, everybody, I got a tip up over here. You can shut that off and it'll still send, a signal to your handheld. So.
Yeah. So basically like you're out in a deep snow, you could just kind of leave the tip up hidden for the most part and still be able to figure out which one is going off just by the handheld transmitter or whatever. And then you know which way to head, I suppose.
Yep. And they also got like flashlight mode. So say you got a lot of like, ATV or snowmobile traffic out on the lake, you can, push, say you got number 1 and 2 out. I just push number 1 for 3 seconds. It'll beep and then the sensor itself out by your tip will turn on, a white LED light. It'll stay on until you shut it off. And then, I can do the same thing to number 2 and say, I got, 4, 5, 6 out. I can do them all. And then like all the snowmobiles and, stuff like that can all see, hey, my tip ups are over here instead of running them over.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool.
Or say you had a few too many beers and you're like, where the fuck did I put number 2? Let me turn a flashlight mode on. Right. I mean, we've been there,
Well, if you get lucky enough to get a flag at night, I know that's kind of rare, but it'd be pretty cool to be able to just say, hey, where the hell is that at? And then you can go find it. And no, I like that. That's a neat system.
Yeah. And I mean, everybody that I've talked to or, they're like, they're fucking, they can't, I mean, imagine fishing without them, it's just it's crazy. Cause back in the day, you'd sit and talk around a campfire or, we used to go sit up in the barn and stuff like that. And the lake was right across the street. So we'd sit in the barn, just look out the windows and all of a sudden, shaking dice or, we're doing whatever. And all of a sudden, you haven't looked out the window in 15 minutes. And what if the last time that you looked out, you left and then the flag went up. So it's been up for 15 minutes. Now you got hooked a fish.
Yep.
And you don't want to do that stuff. So, that's what's really nice about these sensors is it tells you within 2 seconds that, hey, you know, your tip up strip. You know
that's there. That is kind of the interesting part too, because you sit around in a house and, you know, one thing leads to another, you're bullshitting and you just get kind of sidetracked and now you're not watching a tip up. Yeah, a good half hour could go by for Christ's sakes and you just kind of all of a sudden you look, oh, I got a flag, you know, and you have no idea how long that thing's been up. It could have been up for, you know, 29 minutes out of the 30 minutes you didn't look at it. And so I just like that alarm right away that you know that you have a flag. And although I tend to try to watch my flags quite a bit, because to me there's something about actually seeing the flag go off that just kind of trips your trigger a little bit too. It makes it a little exciting too. So it's kind of cool when you actually see it go up. But no, it's, you know, how many times you sit in a portable or something like that the windows are all fogged up and you can't see shit outside. Well, you know, you don't have to sit there and keep wiping down windows and keep looking at tip ups. You can trust the system to alarm you whenever you get a flag to go up. That's cool.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I know, like, a lot of, it seems like a lot of walleye guys really don't use or, like, want to use them as much, I think, as more, like, tip-up fishermen do, because, which I'm not sure, because if you know, you're sitting in a shack, you know, you can focus really on one rod and your electronics, and then you can just put a tip up, say, 10 feet outside the shack with a live bait on and just wait for the beep, you know, around your neck. You don't even have to look out the window. You can just focus on what you're doing inside the shack, which is, you know, you're more efficient and stuff like that, right?
Well, yeah, and if you get set up on a point in a house and all of a sudden you want to kind of get on the other side of maybe a weed line or whatever, and you're only, who knows, maybe you are only 20 feet away, who cares? It's just another line down and you can tend to it without, you know, like I said, gut hooking a fish or anything like that. So, yeah.
And, you know, I get where you say, like, oh, you know, you like to see the flag and stuff like that. But I'm going to tell you, when you're sitting with like 3-4 buddies and all of a sudden you hear, and you all have, the vultures and stuff like that. And you hear the beep, everyone's like looking at their handheld and stuff like that. And it's exciting as, you know, getting, you know, seeing a flag. It's pretty cool. And now they got the Bluetooth, connect where it connects to your phone and you can do like custom, ringtones. And, like I have my daughter singing, Ice Fish Baby on mine for one of my alarms.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. Oh, and you can keep a fish log on it and, yeah, stuff like that. So,
oh, so you can log like how many flags you had that day on that certain tip up too, then?
Oh yeah, yep, and it marks it on a map for you.
Huh? No, that's kind of cool. I like that too. A lot of benefits there.
Yeah. Greg's here. He's a smart guy. Greg Henskin. He made vultures. Definitely a good guy, and he's always come up with something. So.
Where are they out of? Is that a local deal for you guys, or?
Yeah, Menominee Falls.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah. So he's about, I think, 40 minutes from me.
Okay.
So, nice. Yeah, it's, we fish, like I said, up in Lake of the Woods with him 24/7 up there. I mean, we've caught pike at like midnight, 39, 40 inches, and, you know, you're laying in bed at like 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, and all of a sudden you hear a beep, and it's like, oh shit, you got to throw your boots on. It's 20 below zero with 20 mile an hour winds, and nobody else is awake, you know? So,
yeah, it seems like there's nobody else hears that ever besides you. And especially, it's not like getting a rattle reel out of the house either, because you just can go do that right in your underwear and take care of business. But now you got to get dressed to go outside and deal with the shit in the elements.
Right, yeah. Like last year, one night, I forgot what night it was, but last year was our first time staying up there for 6 days, and you know, you get pretty worn out. One night we got pretty fucked up, and so I'm laying in bed, and I had my vulture like on a hook right next to my head, and my buddy Beeper is over in the other bunk on the bottom, and he's like, oh, fucking, all of a sudden I woke up and I'm like, what the fuck's going on here? He's yelling at me and shit. I'm like, what are you doing? I said, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, oh, I just caught this fucking, this pike. And I'm looking, I'm like, that's a big fucker, you know? And he didn't know what the fuck was going on either. He was like, you know, when you wake up after being all fucked up after a couple hours of sleep, you don't know where the fuck you are.
Yeah, you're a little out of tune, right? There.
Yeah, so my sensor was going off, and he heard that, and then what happened was I had a tip up inside the shack and it froze in.
Yeah.
Which is odd because, you know, our shack is pretty warm.
Right.
But it was 40 below last year, so it was, you know, pretty cool down there. But my sensor was going off and he heard it, and what happened was my tip up froze in, and it the pike swam in a circle and hooked his tip up because he had one on the other side of the shack.
Oh no.
Yeah, so his flag was tripped. So then when he pulled it up, the pike bit my lure. I had actually had three dirty bombs on it. You ever see a dirty bomb?
Yeah, I've been kind of watching some of your guys' videos too, and I seen some of the dirty bombs that you guys are using.
Yeah, so I'm like, you know what, fuck it. I said, I'm going to put three of these dirty bombs on there. I'm going to make it look like, 1976, you know. And I mean, just light flashing everywhere and shit. And, Beeper's like, oh, that's fucking ridiculous looking. Like, you could look down the hole standing up in the shack and just see fucking, I mean, beacon. It was pretty bright. Oh, yeah. So the pike hit mine and with the three dirty bombs on there. And so it swung into his and wrapped around my line or something like that. And he pulled it up and he's like, I don't know what the fuck's going on here. Your hook's in it, but I pulled it through my hole. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. I said, I just woke up, man. I said, I don't know what the fuck. I said, I don't even know if this real or not, you know?
Yeah. You dreaming? What's going on? What's reality?
Yeah. Here? Anyway, it was a big bitch. Like, 41 and three quarter.
Oh, or wow.
Like that. And it was probably 18 and a half ish pounds.
Nice.
Yeah. And he's just like staring at him. I'm like, fucking pick it up and take a picture of it. I said, it's a fucking tank, you know? He was so disorientated, you know?
He still has no idea what the hell's going on.
Yeah. He didn't know what the fuck. I knew more what the fuck was going on than he knew what was going on. He caught the fucking fish, you know? I woke up. It took me probably 5 to 10 seconds, but he was still like not fucking coherent at all, which is fun, but.
Yeah, it sounds like a good time, though. That's the best part about ice fishing, I think.
Yeah, like every year we do a theme up there too. Like one year we did WWE, like we dressed up as like Hogan and Jake the Snake, and one year we did leisure suits. One year we did pimps. Yeah, so the guides come off from Artisans, they check on you like once or twice a day, and you know, we're running around in fucking tight purple bell bottom pants with big afro wigs on, and they're looking at us like, what the fuck? What's going on here? Because they never seen shit like that before. Rip, you know, and then you're running out there ripping tanks out, you know?
Yeah.
We're just like a clown, basically, you know? But yeah, it's always fun. And then we have a championship belt made up every year. That's we have it like professionally made at one of those belt whatever they're called.
Yeah. Yeah, like your wrestling belt setup.
Yeah, so then we have a picture of a pike on there, and the year and Lake of the Woods, you know, heavyweight champ, it goes by whoever had the heaviest pike. So yeah, the winner every year gets a heavyweight championship belt, which is pretty cool.
I love it. That's cool. What's the biggest fish you guys ever caught up there? Do you guys have a record of that?
Yeah, the biggest one was caught by Jordan. That was actually that's a funny story. It's I was with Greg and we were at where the hell was that? St. Paul. Ice fishing expo for the in the Vulture booth, and Grant, we call him Gransky, I don't know his last name, but whatever, he signed up for a free fishing trip or whatever with us to Lake of the Woods. So he won and, you know, in a raffle, and we did that live actually. And then he can invite one guest, and he invited Jordan. So Jordan came up. Jordan's a fucking super good guy. You know, we're, you know, pretty good buds and shit like that. And he the first year he was up there, I think his biggest fish was like 36 inches or whatever like that. But
okay.
So one night we're just shit hammered, you know, like just bombed, and we're like, fucking, you know, time to go to bed, you know, we got to pull the plug on this fucker. And all of a sudden I'm walking back to the shack, I'm, you know, zigzagging my way back there, and all of a sudden I see like a light flashing and shit, and I'm like, what the fuck? You know, it's because it's always windy up there. So I'm looking, I'm like, what the fuck is going on over there? And I can hear like a little bit of yelling and shit. And I'm like, fuck. So I, you know, I'm like, I always got to fucking try to help people out. So I'm like, I'm going to fucking head over there. So I get over there and he's like, oh, fuck, dude. He's like, oh, fuck. He's breathing heavy and shit. He's like, this is a fucking big one. I'm like, how fucking big is it? He's like, I don't know. It's fucking big. So, you know, we had like, 52 inches of ice.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
So I'm like, fucking, I'm looking down the hole of my headlamp and shit. And all of a sudden, I seen her and I'm like, holy fuck, you know, just a tank, you know, a gator comes, she came through there. I'm like, fucking, like, you know, like I said, a fucking just, huge fucking head, and I'm like, holy shit, and I'm like, I didn't try to show too much expression in him. I didn't want to get him too worked up, you know.
Yeah,
and
keep him, like, calm.
He's like, is it big? I'm like, it's pretty fucking big. I said, but it's you know, I said, take it easy, you know, because he's, you know, he's fucking kind of
start.
I can hear him farting a little. I could hear him farting a little bit. You know, he's getting a little nervous there. I said, hey, you got a steel leader on? He's like, yeah, I got a steel leader on. So I'm like, okay, so we're pretty good there, you know?
Yep.
And so then all of a sudden her head came in the hole, and I'm like, oh, I got my fucking hand in her gill plate, and I'm like, oh, fuck. You know, I can feel that real big, loose gill plate.
Yep.
So I pull it up, and I'm like, I got it almost out, and I'm like, you ready? And he's like, yeah. So I pull it out, and I'm like, fucking... he's like, holy shit, fuck, and then high fives. So then we had to take it back to the party shack and get more fucked up.
Oh, sure, yeah. Got to celebrate with that one, though.
Oh, yeah. Man, yeah, we got a good video of it. It was 44 and a half inches, 23 pounds.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and in the video of him outside the shack, his face is just beet red with... like windburn and shit, you know, and we're, you can just tell everybody's like yelling shit at him and stuff like that.
So did that fish wind up on a wall somewhere then?
Yeah. Yeah. He kept that one.
Nice.
Basically. So on that trip, it's, Lake of the Woods is so big. And honestly, there's not a lot of people that target pike on it. And there's a lot of, you know, 40 plus inch pike on there. So, you know, we go there just for trophies. So it's you know, your discretion basically, but nobody ever keeps anything under 40. I mean, we're not going to keep a fucking 36 inch pike, you know, I mean, you can do that down here.
Yeah.
Which we don't do anyway, but, yeah, we just go up there for trophies and, you know, now, I mean, you know, we got guys throwing 20 pounders back and, you know, certain people have certain goals. Like, you know, my next one, I want a 25 plus.
Jesus Christ. You know,
30 plus, you know.
I'm agreeing to all this, but here I'm sitting there like, yeah, I'm never going to catch a fish that goddamn big. But, yeah, someday maybe. But I know my dad always had a rule. Yeah, he wanted a 20-pound plus that would go on a wall, and he never did get it. But he got pretty close a couple times. But I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a big freaking fish, man. It's fucking giants. So to pull them up there, you guys drilling 10-inch holes, or are you just sticking it like an 8-inch?
No, up there you got to use a 10 for sure. Cause I mean, like you said, it's some of our videos, you know, you get these, we posted one video, it's like 7 minutes long. It was, I think it was when I caught, my 21 and a half pound last March here. Guys like, oh dude, I just wasted like 6.5 minutes of my life and blah, blah. It's like,
really?
He's like, what the fuck? Yeah, what the fuck are you doing? Because, you know, they see us looking down the hole, and then we you know, we're taking like a broom handle and moving shit around down there. But we're not fishing in 12 inches of ice.
No.
We're fishing in fucking 50 inches of ice, man. Like, that's taller than most of those people that are keyboard warriors, you know, talking shit.
Yeah.
You know, and then you look at their profile picture, and, you know, they're fucking, you know, real pale and shit. They don't go outside. They're chunky, you know.
They're in the basement making peanut butter dragons.
You couldn't even land on the ice and pull this fucker out of the hole. And you're talking, you know, trash. But, yeah, so what happens is the pike will overshoot the hole, you know, even with a 10-inch hole. So their snouts go on the other side, and then you can't pull them up because the angle of the line is so messed up, you know?
Yeah, I suppose you get the line like on the side of the mouth or whatever, and then you got the tip of the mouth always wants to go past the hole, and you just can't bend them. Because how deep's the water in these spots? Because you guys go kind of in the shallows, right, at that time of year?
Yeah, usually we've over the years, that I'd say it's been between 8 to 14.
Okay.
But then 8 to 14. Yeah, we're fishing more of a flat. You know, what happens, you know, then in March there when the big females kind of stage in those flats before they go up and spawn.
Yep. So you're in 8 to 14 feet of water under the ice, or is that to the top of the ice?
That would be. Top of the ice, I suppose.
Okay, so yeah, you don't have a whole lot of room on the bottom to turn these fish again.
No, four to 6 feet, yeah.
Okay, well, that explains why, too. And you throw 3 dirty bombs down there, you can see it looks like a disco going on downstairs, huh?
Yeah.
I've known a few people that go up there in March and target pike, and I've seen some pretty good pictures, but I don't think I've ever seen anything like 44 inches or anything like that, so. That's got to be just a fucking hog to draw all that in.
Yeah, that's the longest and the heaviest yet. And my 21 and a half and Greg's 21 and a half are tied for second. And then there's a bunch in the 20 range. So we keep track. We rip a... half of a case of beer off the cardboard and keep track of all the pike and all our names and who caught what.
Yep. Gotta keep the official records.
Yeah, we got kind of like a little scrapbook like that, but yeah, it's kind of neat to, that one year we caught 73 pike.
Holy smokes.
Those 4 days. Yeah.
4 days and 73 pike.
Yeah. 13 over 40.
Oh my God. I couldn't imagine that. I got to get up there in March and fish for pike then.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I know one of these years somebody's going to get an absolute hog, like, you know, a 30, or it's got to happen. I mean, the lake is so big and stuff like that, and then the forage base is doing obviously really good because, I mean, the way that they're built up there, I mean, we've had some skinnier 40s and shit caught, but, mostly they're fucking just, you know, they're slobs, you know.
Yeah, they've been just chowing down like crazy down there.
Oh yeah, and them walleyes and shit.
Yep. You guys ever cut them open to see what they've been eating or no?
No, the only thing we do is wrap them in towels to take them home to mount.
There you go.
We don't really, we don't cut any up or keep anything unless we keep them for trophies, so.
So what would be about the biggest northern that you would ever process to eat? I know a lot of people are kind of picky on what they want, you know, certain sizes for eating wise, but what's the biggest that you would fry in a pan?
I wouldn't fry anything over 30 inches. I think keeping any northern from like 30 to 40 is kind of dumb. And if you want to keep something to eat, you know, keep something under 30, because, you know, more of your males, they very seldom get over 30 inches. You know, they don't get as big as the females. So you know, obviously you want to keep your bigger females, you know, your 36 inches and 38s and stuff like that. You want to keep those in the lake for breeding purposes and stuff like that. So,
yeah,
you know, if you want something, you know, take a couple males out here and there and you're going to be good, you know, because usually, you know, when they do spawn, you know, one female pike will have, you know, 3, 4, 5 males just surrounding her, you know. So yep. you always have plenty of males there to throw some sperm around.
Sure. What are your thoughts on the I know you're mostly in Wisconsin when you go fishing, but what are your thoughts on that Minnesota slot limit for these northerns? Because I know it drives me up a freaking wall, but you ever have to deal with that? I know Lake of the Woods, is that a different slot up there?
What slot you got?
For like to say the area that I fish in right around the kind of the metro central area, it's 22 to 26 inch northerns have to go back. Of course, if you're spearing, you can keep one of them. But then they also raised the possession limit up to 10 fish versus the old school way of doing three northerns per person.
So what can you keep?
Anything under 22, and then I think it's one over 26 you can keep. I think that's right. Or you have to throw.
Oh, hold on. So 22 to 26 has to go back?
Yeah.
That's one of the dumbest fucking. That's messed up, man. Oh, my God. You know what that shit is I think they do shit like that to kind of trap a guy, you know, like any normal guy, you catch a go and catch a fucking, like in Wisconsin, most of our lakes are 26 inches. The limit is anything over 26 you can keep.
Okay.
Which is, it's a stupid regulation as well. But, you know, in some lakes you can keep 5, no limit size, you know. So you catch a 24 incher or something like that. You know, does Minnesota have different regulations too for different lakes, or are they all the same basically?
For northerns, except I believe like it's
boundary waters.
Yeah, I think for northerns it's basically your territory. I think there's 2 or 3 different territories. I just concentrate mostly on just the central Minnesota one. So the other ones I really can't speak on.
Yeah, and I got the trophy territory up by Ely and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, to have that slot limit on there, that just seems really. Doesn't make a lot of sense, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think if you'd want to have like trophy pike waters, you'd have a limit where say you want to keep 2 pike under 30 inches, anything from 30 to 40 you throw back, and you keep 1 over 40.
Right.
I mean, I think that's like a perfect, you know.
Well, then who needs 10 pike per person? Really? You know,
well, yeah, no shit.
That's always been my thought, is just keep it at 3, and it's the fisherman's discretion on what size they want to keep, I guess. Just because that 3 a day, you're not going to, you know, kill a lake from any northerns around here anyway.
No. Yeah. There's always a lot of small northerns, but, you know, them are the same guys too. You know, you catch 25 bluegills, you know, the size of your a paper plate, and they're like, oh, back in the day, we used to fill up 5-gallon buckets, and it just ain't like that no more. You know, yeah, because you carried them all in 5-gallon buckets, you fucking numbnuts, right? Yep, I mean,
that's exactly it too.
Just like pike fishing. Oh man, they used to pull 40 inches out of here all the time. Well, yeah, but everybody keeps 38s and 36s and shit. Where do you think your 40s come from? They don't come from a fucking magic box down on the fucking bottom of the lake, right?
Yep. And that's where we're stuck here catching all these little tiny sunfish, you know, like left and right. They're not growing anymore. And then same with the northerns too. We around here, we get a lot of places where it's just packed full of hammer handles all day long. It's like, well, yeah, they pulled all the big fish out and they're gone now, so. I don't know.
Yeah, and that's the only thing that'll, after a pike, it's, say, like 10, 15 inches. The only predator it's got, basically, is a fucking another pike or a muskie. That's it.
Right, yeah.
So if you take those big females out of there, you know, there's a lot of cannibalism that goes on with those, you know, them big females and shit. They're, you know, they, you know, territorial and stuff like that. They'll just fucking T-bone a 15-inch pike to kill it and leave it lay on the bottom, you know, just they're big bitches. That's what they are, you know?
Yeah. They're kind of a crazy fish. You're right.
Oh yeah. That's why, you know, it's so appealing to me about them is, the fucking just aggressive and like, you look in their eyes, you know, they're just like looking into a fucking, like a dragon's eyes or something. They would just look, violent, you know?
Yeah. You're like, save 15 to 20 inches, nothing. But then you see these big monster females and they're just, it's a whole nother deal to look at them.
Yeah. You hold their gut and shit and they're the fucking, it rolls around your hand and shit. Cause it's so big around.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just imagine a 30 pounder, like, oof, I'd be fucked up for a week.
That's a big fish.
I think I would walk down with a beer dispensing helmet on and have just like a bottle of like some cheap ass American or Canadian whiskey on one side and a bottle of Squirt on the other side. Just, you know, say, hey, I won't be in for a week.
Yeah. You're just going to stay in your own little zone for a while and just be done with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I caught a 23 pounder up in Sturgeon Bay and me and my buddy got pretty juiced on a lake off some Budweiser's and I'm like, I'm going to bring this bitch into the bar, you know? So I walked into the bar and just slime dripping off her, you know? It was the biggest bike I ever caught, you know? And it still is, but yeah, I brought in the bar and I walked up to the bar and I said, I want to do that. The bartender comes up, she looks at me, I'm like, I want to do some belly shots off this bitch. And she looks at it, she looks at me like, what the fuck? I'm like, she's like, no. I'm like, oh, all right. And she, you know, she said, no, real bitchy. So I'm like, I'm not really going to pursue this because I'll end up getting kicked out. But
tell me you're from Wisconsin without saying you're from Wisconsin right there.
Yeah. Yeah. So we met some old lady in there. She was like 93. Eh? And she was in there with her daughter and her husband and shit. And really nice people. You know, we took pictures with the fish and shit. And everybody, you know, took some pictures with the fish. It was pretty cool. And she's all of a sudden now the bartender comes out with some Jack Daniel shots. I'm like, oh fuck, you know, like Jack, I had some bad experiences off that, you know. So right away my stomach wants to roll. So I'm like, fuck, I'll do one, you know. So I caught my biggest fish. So so I get the shot and they bring the shot by grandma there and the 93-year-old lady and I'm like, hey, no. I said, that's Jack Daniels. And her daughter's like, she can handle it. I'm like, whoa. You know, okay. She down at it like fucking nothing. She didn't even make a face. And I'm over here squinting and fucking like, oh, you know, like dragon breathe. Ah, you know? Yeah. I'm like, damn, that's a hardcore bitch, you know? Yeah,
and Granny's like, I have four of those for breakfast. What are you talking about, pussy?
Yeah, she's a German.
Oh yeah, there you go. See, yeah, that'll do it.
Reminded me of that grandma on that beer fest movie that was massaging that fucking sausage. Remember that?
Yes.
Well, you want it warmed up, and she's fucking just double jerking it. Like, oh, and they're all looking around like, oh fuck, right?
Oh my god! Never know who you're gonna run into around there.
Oh shit.
Speaking of running into people, last time you and I had a phone conversation, you talked about one of your other your main pro staff fella on with Grim Outdoors named Fred. You got any stories you want to talk about Fred to the listeners? I think Fred sounds like a pretty cool cat. I'd like to meet him sometime.
Yeah, Fred, he's I think he's from China, actually. But he lost a hand a couple of years ago in a tragic bass fishing accident, and
that's terrible.
Then he got COVID. Yeah, then he got COVID, and he's been out for a couple of years here. But he's going to make a comeback this winter. But Fred's a mannequin I bought off of Marketplace. Some I don't know what site it was called, but. Like, I'm going to get a mannequin and just put a like a snowmobile suit on. Like, I got some 70s retro snowmobile suit, you know, with the stripes on the side and shit.
Yep.
And, So I put that on him, and I put like this kind of fucked up hat on him and shit. And I put my tip up so on the lake down by me. I live on a lake, and I'm up on the hill kind of. I'm probably about, I'd say about 90 yards about from where my tip up start, you know. And so I'm like, I'll put the mannequin down there, Fred, and so he can wash my shit. You know, so if anybody comes up and they're like, oh, fuck, and I see a sled down here, tip ups, but nobody's down, I'm going to steal his shit, right? Mm-hmm. But now if they see Fred standing there, they're going to be like, oh, and, you know, Fred's 6 foot tall. You know, that was one of the buying points. It said 6 foot tall mannequin. I said, fucking golden.
He's a big boy.
You know? Yeah. So he's standing with that snowmobile suit on and that hat and shit. And he just looks fucked up. I mean, I had my aunt, Tina, made this beard hat for him. So he has a black beard like me.
There you go.
Kind of looked like me standing there. Yeah, it was pretty good. But anyway, I had him in summer, I think in the 2020 election or 2019 it was. And, I had him down on the lake, fishing off the bridge in summer. And I'm like, you know, I just want to see if anybody stops and tries to talk to him because we have a supper club down the road from me. And, you know, people always come through and shit and they talk to the fishermen and whatnot. So I'm like, I'm going to put Fred down there and see if anybody stops and says, hey, are you catching anything? And he'll just stand there, you know, and then they'll just be like, what the fuck, and drive off. I just want to see. I just like watching people's reactions and shit. And then I'm like, what if I get some fucking, some walkie talkies where, you know, their voice activated, I could put one on Fred and then I could hear what people are saying. Like, hey man, you catching anything? I can be like, yeah, look in the bucket. And then it would go to that walkie talkie. And then in the bucket, I would have a dildo. And then they would look in the bucket and think they'd see a fish, but they'd just see a dildo in there.
Oh, you gotta have a remote control on that too. All of a sudden, you started hitting a button. This damn thing starts vibrating and gyrating in the bucket.
Can you imagine what would somebody think though? They'd look at you and be like, "What the fuck is that, a mannequin? Is that real?" But they'd have to look in the bucket because they're curious. They're fishing.
Well, right.
Like, what's in the bucket? And then they would look in the bucket, and there's just a big fucking dildo. You know. They'd be like, what the fuck's going on here? Do I leave or do I stand here? I don't know what the hell.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with my hands anymore at this point.
Yeah, what do I do? I think I'll just go home.
Oh, man, Fred's going to have a GoPro mounted on his head for that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna take Fred to the next level, I think. I think I'm going to do get him back out in the field and get him going again. He's a pretty good idea. He had a rough time up in Beta Knock. Me and Beep were sitting up in the sleeper shacks up there, which is kind of, it was a fucked up trip. Our buddy drove in his truck, fell through the fucking ice.
Oh,
and
no.
we were the only ones that made it on the ice. And everybody else had to stay in a hotel on shore. So we're like texting back and forth. Hey, oh, fucking, you know, we're catching this and that. And they actually caught some little walleyes and shit up in along shore by the hotel there. And so we're out on Beta Knock and my buddy Beeper brought some moonshine, some smoky fuck. I don't know what the hell it's called, Smoky Hills or whatever the fuck it's called in Tennessee. Yeah, it was like Blue Thunder or Blue Lightning or some shit like that. And let's fucking drink that shit, you know. So I was drinking beers all day, I think, or I don't know if it was whiskey or not, but I don't know. Either way, I was pretty drunk before we opened that up. And you ever get fucked up on moonshine before?
I've had a few glasses of it, yeah.
You ever been like jagged off it though?
No, I wouldn't say it too bad, no.
It's like fucking being on like Star Trek or something. Like, you just, man, I had some shit from Georgia one time. We were doing, me and my buddy Hunter Mark, we're doing caps of moonshine every time we get a flag and we're in a fucking snake spot.
Oh boy.
Where we're getting like 15, 20 flags of fucking, yeah, every couple hours. And all of a sudden, you know, I got this shit from Georgia and, this guy I used to work with went down to Georgia. He's like, I'll bring you some moonshine back. And I'm like, okay. So we're doing these shots of moonshine and shit's pretty smooth, you know? But all of a sudden, he comes walking back and he's fucking like zigzagging and shit. And I'm like, there's not that much snow out there. What the fuck are you tripping on? And then all of a sudden I'm like, then I went out there cause I had a flag and, I'm walking back. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, it felt like I was walking on, it felt like I had those, like workout balls taped to my feet. Like I was walking on the moon or something. It was really weird. I'm like, whoa, you know, now I can see why he was walking fucked up. So then I got in the shack. I'm like, hey, did you notice you were walking fucked up? He's like, yeah. I'm like, doesn't it feel like you're walking on air? Like, I don't know. You know, he's like, yeah, fuck. You know, but man, I was, yeah, so the shit up in Datanock, it was the smoky shit. And me and Beeper went live, actually. It just fucking trashed.
No, it's always a good idea to go live when you're like that, yeah.
Oh, my God, we look so bad. Like, people are commenting, like, oh, my God, look at their eyes and shit. And, you know, we were, like, talking, we were making any sense, you know, slurring our words and whatnot. And, oh, it was terrible. But, yeah, that then Fred, our buddy Fred, ended up outside the shack, fucking all like dismembered and shit, and there was beer cans all around him. And
oh no, poor Fred!
A bunch of piss puddles, and you know, it was a tragic scene.
That's not good.
Yeah, he's gonna make a comeback though. He'll be game.
I gotta tape him back together, get him all back into shape. He'll be good to go. Give you guys some good content for the Grim Outdoors pages.
Yeah, you ever fish Little Datanock or Datanock?
No.
Yeah, we went up there, like I said, through that, it was called, I think, Sleeper Shacks or some shit, but it's basically kind of a retro, like, half-assed guide service, whatever, but, you know, it's there for its purpose, you know, it was totally fine, I was totally fine with it, and it's not that expensive, but the walleye fishing is good there, you know, that's what it's known for. But
and where is this at again?
Datanock, Michigan, you know where Escanaba is.
Oh, okay.
Kind of mid upper peninsula.
Okay. Bottom.
Yeah, so we went up there and we're like, we want to catch some big fucking pike, you know, like I want to catch some 40s out of like all the Midwestern states. That's one of my goals, you know. So yep. I want to get fucking Michigan crossed off. So, you know, I go up there and the guide, you know, guide's like, you know, a typical guide talking, they talk shit. Most guides are fucking bullshitters. It's just a known fact.
No way.
You know, at least, oh, they're fucking, it's me and my buddy just laugh because we know right away what they're up to. But we've met a couple that are good, you know, you know, they ain't bullshitters and shit like that. But yeah, this guy was definitely a bullshitter, but he's like, yeah, there's big pike out there and this and that. And he's like, there's a big pike out there that's been snapping people off and shit. I'm like, okay. I'm like, how big? He's like, oh, they're saying 18 pounds. I'm like, real? I'm like, I'm not up here for a fucking 18 pound pike, man. I want a fucking 20 plus, Holmes, you know? And so we're out there, and it's like, you know, we caught like a fucking 20-inch pike. So I told my buddy, I said, hey, let's set up for fucking walleyes. You know, we don't like catching walleyes, but I said, let's catch, try for walleyes for like an hour or so. And not shitting, you know, we only caught that one pike, I think, in a day and a half. So we
set up for walleyes.
Yeah. So, yeah, we set up for walleyes, and I caught a 24-incher, and, you know, you ever catch a walleye on a tip up?
One time, yeah.
Yeah, it's like taking a dish towel, a dildo, a zip tie, zip tying the dildo to the dish towel, putting it down in the hole, and then reeling it up. I mean, you get a little vibration, a couple shakes, but there's just a little bit of weight there. You know, walleyes don't fight.
No.
No, I mean, especially on a tip up on a rod. Yeah, I'm sure they're pretty fun, but. The first half hour I caught a 24 inch walleye, and then my buddy called one like 10 minutes later. I'm like, okay, this is gay. Let's fucking set back up for a pike, you know?
Yep.
Cause it was, we had no interest in you know, catching those walleyes. But anyway, you know, that turned out to be a interesting trip with Fred, I guess. So.
That sounds like Fred makes it all fun.
Yeah, Fred was, and it's kind of weird because, you know, you pull in a gas station and shit, and you got a fucking, you know, people see a mannequin in the back, and
he's seat belted in too, right?
What was that?
You got him seat belted into the truck?
Yeah, we believe in buckling up. So, well, you know, people, they look over and shit. They're like, you know, they're going to call the cops because they think that's a fucking a body in there because they ain't moving and shit. I mean, you know, you got, your windows are a little tinted. You don't know.
Just probably take them out of the garbage bag first.
Yeah. So when you stop at Quick Trip, you're like, you run in and get a fucking burger and a orange juice and a coffee and get the fuck out of there because, you know, you don't want the cops to pull you over. You got a fucking mannequin in there. But we've started to dismember them and shit. We just kind of put them in pieces now in the back.
We got arms and shit hanging out of the box of the truck. And who knows what?
Well, the thing is, when I put them in the on the bridge in summer, there is I taped the fishing rod to his hand with some black tape, and I went to grab him, and the fucking hand fell off in the in the lake with the rod. So now somewhere in the lake that I live on, there's a fucking mannequin hand taped to a fishing rod.
Somebody's going to hook into that.
Maybe a kid.
Yeah.
I hope it's like a kid or something, some like real ditzy lady.
Oh my God, look at this.
I got a hand.
Oh, is that a fucking real hand?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be watching the news and waiting for that story to come out.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That'd be funny. So I do have one more quick question for you, and we'll probably start wrapping it up here a little bit. But I know you guys like to do, like, say, the Grim Outdoors tip of the week. How long does it take to get buck piss flavor out of your mouth after mixing it with your chew?
fuck, you know, that always seems to... That's always the question that gets brought up, usually when I go places. Hey, you that guy that put the fucking shit? Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, know? So if anybody doesn't know, all you really have to do is just Google Grim Outdoors, maybe throw in buck piss or chew, and this video is going to come up. Because I do remember quite a while back, this is the first time I ever heard of Grim Outdoors. So I'd have to say this video probably really popped your guys' cherry and got you guys going.
Yeah, it worked out pretty good. I think we went from like 7,500 followers to like 35,000 in like a month.
That's a pretty fast growth.
Yeah, and it's just been growing ever since. I think we're almost 76,000 out now. So
nice. Good for you guys.
It's cool because, you know, we're just like just normal fucking, we're just normal people, you know, like, you know, people usually that I meet too, you know, they see the videos and whatnot, and they're like, when they meet me in person, they're like, fuck, man, you're a pretty mellow guy. I'm like, yeah, I'm just a mellow guy. That's all I am. Like, I just roll out the flow and shit. And, you know, a lot of times, yeah, you get a little, jagged up and shit, and you do some stupid videos and whatnot, but, you know, just the normal, yep. Normal life, normal team and normal people, you know, and that's why I think we're appealing to, you know, to some people because, you know, we're just normal people. So,
yeah, you know, and ever since I've been following you guys too a little bit, I've seen a lot of my personal friends liking the videos and the posts that you guys put out too. So, and that's what it is. It's all the normal schmucks that I know, you know, liking you guys too, and it's just cool because it's nothing, the whole professional outdoorsman stuff, it's for me personally, it's not for me, you know. I just like to just casually just have fun and do this stuff, you know. And like I said before earlier when we started recording, it's like if you take it too seriously, you know, you're gonna burn out eventually. Just as
well, I mean, you just, you don't wanna, nobody, okay, yeah. So say you're crappie fishing out with a buddy out on a lake, right? You don't fucking turn to your buddy and be like, hey, we're out here on this 20-foot break catching crappies or 15 feet down. I mean, they want to see people having some beers and fucking talking. Hey, you know, throwing, say, I want to hit fucking fucking Bulberg in the head with a beer can or something like that. I mean, people want to see that shit on video. That's kind of, you know, that should be on TV, you know,
right.
Just, you know, people, normal life shit. And, you know, if a guy gets too jagged and fucking face plants, you know, put it on there. I mean, that's
exactly.
Yep. Normal shit.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't want to hear about some fucking, you know, what fuck line you're on and crappies that you're catching and basically a fucking glorified farm pond, you know?
Yeah, no, it's the real life stuff is what it's all about. And that's kind of what we try to do too. So that's why I think talking with you from Grim Outdoors, I think it's a pretty good fit for Border Outdoors as well. So it's just definitely be a lot of fun to go out and put some flags out with you guys. That's for damn sure. And that's kind of why the people relate to you guys too, because I'm sure most of your followers would love to just go out and just, you know, throw some flags out, shoot some shit and throw back some beers, you know. So
we get a lot of messages that are like, oh hey man, if you want to catch some big pike, you know, come here. It'd be fun to go fishing with you guys sometime. It's like, if we, you know, you just can't do all that stuff, you know, and
right.
You know, basically our whole winter is basically planned with, you know, trips and shit. And, you know, we're not, you know, you got, you know, we take, you know, pike fishing serious, you know, we still have fun obviously and shit like that, but we want to catch, you know, trophies. So, you know, we go to Madison and Sturgeon Bay and Minnesota several times and stuff like that. And we just don't, you know, it kind of sucks that we kind of lost the, like the old times where, hey, let's go to Long Lake, which is a shithole, or Kettle Moraine Lake, where, you know, if you want big pike, you got to go to Kettle Moraine Lake.
Right.
Near Dundee, Wisconsin. But, yeah, we fished that and, you know, you're just fishing these shitholes and like, you don't have a chance really of catching a big fuck. I mean, you do, but it's slim to none. But I mean, it was fun hanging out there with buddies and just, you know, you grill out or, you know, whatever. But now, you know, we're more into the the trophy aspect. So we kind of want to go, you know,
yeah,
where the big ones are. So you lose one fun thing to gain another thing, which, you know, unfortunately sometimes you can't have both because you don't want to bring five or six buddies into a really good spot that you scouted out. And now you kind of want to, you know, kind of keep on the down low, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that's something that Border's doing here in the end of February, like the 25th. And we're going to take a Saturday and just do a fishing with the Border guys and just pick a local lake. I think we got a lake around here called Maple Lake, just on the road actually from my house. And it's mm-hmm. just one of those deals where, hey, come on out. We'll throw some flags out. You guys come out and just bullshit with us. Maybe we'll throw some food on a grill or whatever and have a good time, you know, just, you know, meet the Border guys. You know, we're fairly new. We've been doing this a couple of years now and just get, we have a, you know, a fan base that's, you know, somewhat local and some stretch out quite a ways out there. So keeping it simple and keeping it small for us is kind of fun for right now. And, just go out there and just let the fans and listeners come out and hang out with us, drink some beers and watch some flags. And that's kind of what it's all about anyways. So, but, no, it's kind of cool. It sounds like you guys got a lot going on though. You guys are getting around and definitely targeting some giant fish, which would be just an absolute blast to get on top of and experience too.
Oh so. Man. Yeah. I mean, you haven't really experienced anything until you pull in a slob when you're half in the bag or you can barely stand and you're, you know, you pull your post arm out and you're almost face planting and shit and you got to pull this big fish up and stuff like that. I mean, it's you know, it's in 30-40 mile an hour winds. It's always shitty winds up there. We had a couple of years where it was like really nice, but man, last year I just watched a video again from a couple of years ago on YouTube. From when we were out there, I couldn't even see the guy next to you. It was like, you know, 60 yards away. You couldn't even see. It just looked like a faint spot. You
know, the wind
was
crazy. So bad.
It was just a blizzard. Yeah. And, you know, but yeah, that's basically our forte for, Grim Outdoors, as far as fishing goes, is, you know, big pike, and that's kind of what we're known for, is the slobs and stuff like that.
Cool. Yeah. Sounds like a lot of fun. Well, I think we're going to wrap her up here. So you got any else real quick, like you want to like say, throw some shout outs to or anything like that with Grim Outdoors or?
I'm not really going to throw some shout outs. Really want to remind everybody to stay positive out there. Always believe in yourself and, keep the sun in your face and the wind at your back.
There you go.
That's
good,
it.
Good words to live by. So we'll wrap her up with Boar Outdoors. I'm Tim, and you are who again?
Anton.
All right. Well, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Border Outdoors podcast. Follow us on Instagram and be sure to join, follow, and share the Border Outdoors Facebook community page. Also, leave us a 5-star rating and review on Spotify, Apple, or whatever podcast hosting site you listen to. Tune in next week, see what we're talking about, and make sure to get out there and make your own memories. Hunting and fishing, singing and kissing, here we come.